Good morning.
At no point,
my name's Wade Barrow.
I'd like
to welcome you here this morning. And most of you already know that Thursday morning, passed away.
I feel like cussing that guy out, but I ain't going to cuss him out because I hate to die in my sin.
If you haven't heard of those on the internet, that Pastor Hampton passed away.
I better treat my wife right.
And I'll be the Lord Bible may come back this morning.
And guess what you're doing? Putting that roll back on.
Services coming up this
putting
afternoon.
Putting that roll back on secret. Don't tell nobody.
4 o'clock, which will be broadcast on the internet.
And begin to live
and those things will be given to you a little bit later on.
Don't want
this morning, I would like for you to turn into the book of Genesis. And I'd like to look at some things here in the Word of God about acceptance or being accepted. Now, we all
that's what Paul is
accepted. And whenever we come to church, we want to have friends and fellowship, people we care about and love and work with in the ministry. And we all want to be accepted, friends. And so the Bible has some things to say about being accepted.
Yes, sir.
And so this morning, if you would look in Genesis chapter 4,
can you trust him?
Here it starts in verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord.
Hope, can you trust him? Bobby,
and she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground, an offering to the Lord.
I'm not going to ask grown folks.
Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock, the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel.
We are so glad you watched the program this morning. If you need further information, please go to www.gracebiblechurch-absolutetruth.org and come fellowship with us. We are located on 20 Cecil Lane off of Atlanta Highway, behind Arby's, near Perry Hill Road.
If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall
Absolute
be his
Truth
desire.
Is a program dedicated to the truth of the Word of God, rightly divided, helping you get more out of your Bible.
Cain,
it is a program provided through your free will offering.
Abel,
Grace Bible Church is located at 20 Cecil Lane, right
the
behind the Arby's on Atlanta
it
Highway.
Was one that
Call
God,
888-7-CHRIST for service times and other materials.
Years after the fact.
And now your Bible teacher.
Here is, I believe, that God
gave
direction. All right,
so Wayne, I wore this robe for you.
As to how things were to be done.
That you would feel at home and churchy.
And
all
Abel,
that stuff.
He followed
Terry's probably broke up all on the
God
inside in a robe. He's struggling with grace right about now.
Adam
He's like, Lord, Lord, give him grace.
They sinned in the garden.
Yeah, right.
There was some animals.
I probably won't speak in tongues.
And so Adam.
But how they taught us was, see my tie, see my tie, see my tie, see my tie.
I believe afterwards that
right?
was pleasing to God, and he taught his son.
Well, he figured after a while you'd catch
he had
on.
An example, and
I've learned
that
it was
that
definitely
example.
Observational learning.
And it was
because what I learned and found out when I was a pastor in the church where we wore
God
stuff
had
like
respect
this
to it,
is that a lot of things that we learned by watching other people.
But instead, Cain,
I never had an experience.
And the consequences,
like the Lord took me and passed out. I passed out. I watched other people
I
pass
believe
out.
It, according to the Word of God.
I watched other people run around. I watched other
Cain
people do holy things that they told
the
me were holy.
He was a type of
and
Antichrist.
I watched.
He died.
And I so much hell. Wanted to be a part of that crowd.
But, and,
to be holy.
You know, there's a place down in New Orleans.
So I began to practice my holiness.
Raising Cain.
Prepare for when the moment was right.
Talking about a literal
and my emotions were stirred to a point that
and,
then I could
so
really
he was
cut
the
loose.
Type of the Antichrist.
And I knew that if I did that,
now, the Bible
although
said
in
a lot
some thought in my mind I wanted to be used
how
of God,
supposed to be done.
But in reality, I was being used of a different kind of God.
One.
A God that would show people error. A God that would deviate, if you will, from the doctrine of the grace of God. But I felt committed, man. I was in.
Leviticus chapter 1.
I mean, folks was high-fiving me. Brother, you got it.
Look at verse 4.
And I was like, I guess I do. And then they told me I had power. And I quickly realized I didn't have all that power they thought I had.
And God's given instructions to the priest.
Was set, how I was to set up in a funny
make
kind of
sacrifices
way.
And,
and Jesus kind of speaks about
and it
this
says
robe
here
I'm
that
wearing. Turn to Luke chapter
4,
20. He makes a
he
great
shall
statement
put his hand
about
upon
robes.
The head of the burnt offering, and it shall be
Luke 20.
Or
if you go to Luke chapter
to
20, verse 46, it
so
says,
we see that
"Beware of the scribes
again,
who desire to walk in long robes,
if it's done properly,
and love
it's
greetings
going to be accepted."
In markets,
let's look at the
and highest seats
and
in the synagogue.
And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord.
And the chief rooms
the
at feast,
Aaron's son shall bring
which
the
devour widows' houses
round about
and for
on the altar that is
show,
by the door of
make long prayers. And
he
shall receive greater damnation.
And cut it into pieces, and the son
and
of Aaron, the priest, shall
robe.
Put upon the altar and lay the
because
wood
it makes me
in
feel
order
holy.
Upon the altar. Notice
it
that.
Makes me feel Lord, like I'm above you guys.
God has an order,
right?
A way of doing
because
things.
The priest of old wore the robe.
Order in everything he does.
And the ephod and the garments, right? And I'm your
and
priest.
Most folks can't figure it out.
And you look up to me.
It's very,
and
to
so
me, it's
I
very
walk
simple,
around, right? Looking holy,
right?
You have
about
nothing about
years,
me that
so
you would desire, right?
To me.
I'm just
not
I'm the man between you and God, and I just feel so holy.
So what
in
order
this
is
robe.
It in?
But ever now, forgetting that underneath this robe, there's none good. No matter how I try to do good, but while I was up here for those 45 minutes, buddy, I was sanctified and holy. And what I'm saying
Bible,
to
you
just before I get started is, don't go back to robes.
God laid it out.
Robes take away
sense.
Grace. Robes
very,
put back on you the
easy
law.
To understand, really.
Robes put back on you the schoolmaster of, you better behave, or God
submit
against
to
you.
It. So God gives directions
don't go
here
back
to these
that.
Priests.
Stand therefore in the liberty where with Christ
he goes on here
and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage.
Verse 17.
Let the robes go. I preached before about the schoolmaster. How that schoolmaster is ever trying to get you. The schoolmaster is always trying to get you back.
18. And if any of the flesh
and that schoolmaster is real.
Of his
so if you desire pretty robes
eaten at all on the
and desire
day,
to be among men
shall
and
not
look
be
haughty,
accepted. Neither shall it
you
be
might need to work on some things.
Imputed unto
you
him
you might need
to
get the doctrine it. Down a little bit better.
It shall
because
be an abomination.
Because under every robe that I find,
I find
a sinner saved
iniquity.
By grace. So no matter what robes you want to wear,
now,
and you have to also take off the law.
The results.
But I will tell you this.
In the right order.
In the world that I'm going in,
the way God
they recognize robes as something.
He had told them not to
eat on the
third day. Up in
Washington, D.C., the robes mean something.
And if
and I'm
going to
tell you something. I'm going to be like
abomination.
I'm going to become all
so
things
it's
all
very important then,
that I might win
to follow
so I will wear that
directions
robe. But I will
wear
it with the grace of
God. Gave them
helping them to understand what it really means. And then I'll disrobe
it's,
like I just did.
It's important to the point. It's life or
and death. Talk to them about the gospel of the grace of God according to
that,
the body of Christ. Amen?
It is.
Amen. All right. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10.
Years ago,
the main thing
I
that I
want to
look at here is what is taught in mainline churches a lot about doctrine. And how that doctrine does not necessarily fit for us today. How it does not fit for us today. Although it sounds very good, but it does not quite fit for us today. Luke chapter 10, verse 19,
it
talks about that, behold,
I
give unto you, this is Jesus talking, power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Leviticus,
notwithstanding, in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now here's the point I want to make here. He says here, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. This is a declaration of completeness.
To accomplish
not partial power.
Free will offering in the beast.
He said power over all
be
the
be
power
accepted.
Of the enemy.
There shall be no
all
blemish
the power.
Therein.
All means all, does it not?
Now,
so then
I'm
I
sure
often wonder
that
how it is that if
there,
they have this power,
Jesus Christ,
today in mainline church,
he was perfect,
in mainline denomination, if they have the power, why are there people in their congregation wearing glasses? Why are there people in their congregations sick? Oh, they would say to you that it's a faith issue. It's a faith issue. It's a faith problem. But the issue is that it's over all the power of the enemy. All the power. So that meant that they had signs that would follow them. Turn Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. It further clarifies
it has to be perfect
that
to be accepted.
This power they were supposed
to have. Of course,
we all
know also the Lord Jesus Christ.
And they preach it as though they have it today.
He had no sin.
Mark 16,
he didn't have
verse
any sin.
15. Jesus is saying again to his disciples.
I believe.
He says, go ye therefore, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Some folks
For
say,
he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not
took our sins upon him.
Shall be damned. Okay, so he that believeth and is baptized
offering.
Shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And
now,
it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe.
We'll go all the way over.
All right, this is not optional here. These signs shall follow them that believe. Believers are those that were saved in verse 16. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues.
I'm sure it's a verse that most
they shall take up serpents. Doesn't that match what he said over there? You shall walk on serpents and scorpions. He says it again here. They shall take up serpents.
It says, but in every nation,
and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
With him.
They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I have not been to a church yet where they did not have a Meals on Wheels program
that
they went out to sick people every week
just like it was
and fed them meals and had prayer with them and did all those things, but they left and the people were still sick. So they bring them more food and pray with them, and they're still sick. Deacons, preachers, trustees, deaconesses, and all those are
trust
sick.
Trust the Lord by grace
dying.
And just go on and stop
and
this.
Pastors are going in, anointing them with oil, praying over them, and they're still dying.
He had to do something.
What's wrong?
He had to bring an offering there.
I mean, isn't this
make,
the gospel? I mean, Andre, I know
sin.
Now this is probably
and
you, man. I mean, you can drink any deadly thing.
Accepted. And, his heart
and it won't hurt you. That's the promise, right? I got some Clorox for you. Hold on. Wait. Good glass.
But in every nation, he that feareth him.
No, man, trust the word, brother.
Righteousness.
Trust the word.
Is accepted
and see,
him.
That's exactly what it is.
Right. No,
they give you this ideology of, oh, it'll work, brother. It'll work.
We don't tell people that today. We don't tell them they got to do good.
Then they'll say, don't tempt the Lord thy God. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. But isn't this power that you got?
But Abel over there.
Not tempting God. It's power that he said that you would have. I'm not tempting God to change rocks to bread. I'm saying this is power that you got. That Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them.
Verse
and I often wondered about
there,
that.
Verse,
and y'all heard this
14.
Testimony before. My daughter
says,
was in
and who shall tell
Keith
these words
ICU in Gainesville, Florida.
And all thy house.
And I was
saved.
An assistant pastor
and as
at
I
a church
speak,
with 500 members.
On them,
and has
on
preached several times. That you could speak to the mountain
and
shall be removed.
He said, John indeed,
I preached that you could walk in and have the anointing of Peter. And the shadow would cause people to get
ye
up.
Ye shall be baptized
I
with the Holy Ghost.
I preached that if you believed God and you tithe, that he would meet your need. That he would raise
for
him
much,
up.
Then as God
I
gave
preached
them
that.
The light gift.
Because I was taught that.
Us,
that these signs shall follow them
Christ.
That believe.
What was I?
Me and my wife went down there. We were tithers.
In other words,
we were consistent churchgoers. We prayed. We did everything like they told us to do.
We saw what was going on.
Gave all the money, building fund. We gave an extra $1,000 for that, and we was walking that tightrope. Then my daughter got sick.
The gifts that the apostles had received.
And we're praying.
Chapter 2.
And we're casting devils out in the name of Jesus.
But he saw it.
We are. You know, I mean, we were serious.
He could have said some things.
We believed it.
But he.
And there was a pulse ox meter.
You say back in chapter 10.
And the doctor told us if it goes below a certain number,
Cornelius,
you're in trouble. And the more we prayed, the more that pulse ox kept going down.
He saw how that God.
And I knew something had to be wrong with me.
Into a place of blessing.
Something had to be wrong with me. So I had to check my faith, Mama. I had to go back and say, I tithe on the. Check the checkbook. I tithe on the 1st of May. I tithe on the 1st of April. I tithe in March. And I tithe in February. I gave an extra $500 for Christmas. And I gave to the passage anniversary. And I did it all, Mama.
Not me. Lord says, kill and eat.
Oh, God. Man, I must have done something wrong.
I'm a good
but I've been preached along.
I keep the law
over it, over and over.
And
you tithe, God you'll says, open up the windows of heaven,
planned,
right? And pour you out a blessing that you would not have room to receive.
See, God's
what more than
show
I need than my daughter sitting on her deathbed in pain? I see you.
Things are going to change. Things
it don't
are
get no
be
better than that. It don't get no neater than that, does it? And what happened? My pastor comes down. Uh-oh, I'm bringing the heavy hitter in now. Because these signs shall follow them that believe.
You don't want to give a baby a
right? So my pastor comes down there. He's got on his suit.
So Lord's
his tie,
showing
looking very priestly.
He didn't give him the whole
cufflinks and everything. Had it down. Cross going across his tie. Tucked in his pocket.
Maybe he got it later on.
Had a big old Bible.
But his ministry
Bible with some oil too. Blessed oil by him. Hallelujah.
Was to the church.
He walks in. I feel the anointing of
never
God walk in that room. He
even
laid hands on my daughter and he
two,
prayed. He prayed down fire. I thought the folks, dead folks would flop out their beds in the hospital.
The gospel of God's grace. He was a
my daughter's pulse ox didn't change.
Now,
it didn't
but
change.
God is showing him something here.
It's all a puzzle.
And he,
I'm struggling.
He's.
I told my wife, it's your fault.
God tells him to go.
Because you don't
do
speak in tongues.
About that. Now,
it's your fault. You don't speak in tongues. Because she hadn't gotten the gift yet, brother.
If he had known.
She hadn't gotten it yet.
She didn't work on it. She's something like this. Look over
seek
to
the Lord.
Chapter 1, verse 6.
It's her fault. You know, I really realized. A week went by. Then the second week went by. Slowly my daughter began to recover. And slowly I realized that some of the stuff that I was preaching didn't fit. Something was wrong in the Kool-Aid.
Look, we'll look in verse 4 here.
Something was wrong in the Kool-Aid. I couldn't pinpoint it.
Paul says here, according as he hath chosen.
Then I met a guy named Lewis, and he said,
before the foundation of the world,
ain't you tired of this
stuff? We should be holy
preaching?
And without
and I was
blame
like, yeah.
Before him and love.
Something
having
was wrong
predestined
in Kool-Aid.
Us into the adoption
he
of
said,
his children.
You preaching the wrong
Jesus
gospel,
Christ,
man. I ran from that guy.
According to the
I ran from him. I stayed away from him.
To
I
the
said,
praise
you're a liar.
Of the
you're
glory
the devil.
Of his grace.
Because the God is not an author of confusion.
Us.
Right? That's what they taught us, right? But I wasn't confused. I knew
see that?
Something was wrong.
See, I'm not accepting.
And then he showed me
God
right
anything
division.
That I ever done.
He showed me
I'm accepted
the gospel.
In the beloved.
And I tell you, it was so simple how he did it. And Pastor does it all the time.
He showed
me a line.
Thing,
and he drew the cross.
Oh, right.
And then he did an arrow like this.
Whenever we stand
and then he showed me a little
God,
bit more lines. And then he did the body of Christ like this.
It was all
and then he went over here.
Lord Jesus Christ
and then he did a great thought for me. He said, this is
he
Old Testament.
He made us accepted
and then he did Matthew.
The beloved.
And then he said,
Christ.
I think he said John.
Well, wouldn't it be one
and then he had some Acts right here.
Someday when you stand before
and then
God,
he said,
the
Acts chapter 9. And then he
accepted.
Said something about the body of Christ. And then he said something
today.
Over here. I can't remember what he wrote.
Brother Barry, probably.
But I think he wrote something like tribulation. Oh, yeah. And he did put in things, some up here called a rapture.
I've only
amazing.
Known him for a few years.
So tell
years,
me what, you, what this means. So I don't have this power?
About 9 months
said,
or something like that.
Did your
I
daughter have
really
it?
Appreciate
I said, but my... No, but, well, what had happened is my pastor
years.
Came and prayed and... Well, it must have been something wrong. He said, no, nothing wrong with you.
To be accepted.
He said, you ain't got that power.
The right way is pleasing to God.
I said, but wait a minute,
and
brother. The Bible says in red writing. Your Bible got red writing.
In a way, it's human.
It's in
life.
Red, right? Jesus
we all
said that.
To be,
he said, no,
accepted.
No.
We all want to.
He said, I got to show you something. He
serve
said,
one
you.
Another.
He said, you know what? That Jesus, initially, when he came in this time frame, he wasn't even coming for you. He said, do you know that you are a Gentile I had never heard, been in church 20 years. Had never heard nothing about a Gentile.
I want to help people.
I knew there was black folks, white folks, Mexican folks, so Hispanic folks. I never heard nothing about no Gentile folks.
He hath made us accepted in the blood.
I didn't. He told me I was a Gentile, and then there were some Jews.
And I don't.
Then I was really messed up. He said, "You're a Gentile."
I think he heard the gospel, but I
said, "I'm a Gentile."
He never fully understood what God had done because he says so.
I'm a Gentile. He said, "Yeah, but I got even better for you." He said, "You're not even that Gentile. You're a Gentile way over here."
You know.
I said, "Wait a minute,
understand? You know, God doesn't use a man."
You're messing with me. I thought I was a Gentile. He said, "No, you the Gentile over here that was without hope."
Bodies of doctrine.
I said, "Wait a minute, no, hold it, brother. I got hope. I got hope. Jesus is my hope. Hallelujah."
Paul's ministry was.
He said, "No, no, you ain't had no hope at all."
And
I had to get it then. I said, "Wait a minute.
Okay,
tell me something else." He said, "Turn to Matthew chapter 10.
You get to Acts chapter 7.
Greatest verse I had heard in my life.
It's done."
And I tell you, it almost knocked my head off my shoulders.
So he does show up in
Matthew chapter 10.
And Galatians chapter 2,
in verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples,
his ministry's over. He didn't
understand. He gave them power against unclean spirits. Now, I said, "That's right. That's me." He said, "No, that ain't you." I said, "But not."
Excuse me.
He said,
"Look at."
Okay, I did. Now a lot of stuff came up.
Let's look over here at Romans chapter 14 and verse 10.
Hold on, let me listen. It sounds like just one voice. I can't see him because there's a lot of stuff in front.
It says here, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Now, I see here that the judgment seat of Christ, you know, a seat, that's somewhere that you sit down.
And there's just one.
And the Bible talks about God sitting on his throne. It talks about the Lord at the right hand of the throne and being there until the time when he comes back and takes this church out. It's a reference there to the seat where the Lord Jesus Christ is seating, and he's waiting for the time whenever God will come back and take the church out. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we might look there just for a second. It says here, well, look at verse 9. "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." I see here a reference here to being accepted. And I see the judgment seat of Christ, a place where the Lord Christ is seated there in a time of judgment where he's going to judge. And I thought about the fact that every time you see that, it's a seat where someone is seated. And I thought about over here in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, it says, and it's talking about Stephen. And it says here, verse 55, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." I think that's the only place I know of in the Bible where it talks about Jesus standing from heaven. Now, I could be wrong, but I see there, this is one time where God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is standing there in heaven. And Stephen here is preaching. And he's preaching to the nation of Israel. And he tells them back in verse 52, which of the prophets have your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which slew before the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. That you couldn't have said anything any stronger than that. You couldn't have spit in their face. The statement that Stephen made there whenever he says, you killed your Messiah. You've crucified the just one. The one that Israel's been looking for hundreds of years, 1,500 years. And they've killed him, murdered him. And they're outraged. They're outraged to the point that they beat him to death. They stone him to death here. And verse 56, and he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. There our apostle is. He's there and he's consenting to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why over there later he says he was a murderer. But the thing here is, I see that God does something unusual here. He stands up at the death of one of his saints. You know, the Bible says over there in Psalms chapter 16, is it 116? Psalms 116, verse 15. The Bible talks about the death. It says, precious in his sight, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know, things go on with Christians here on this earth that God knows about. God knows about the sufferings of men who try to serve Him and preach the Word of God right and try to do right, preach the gospel and persecuted. And the Word of God here, precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of His saints. It don't go unnoticed. God knows what's going on. He sees what's been going on here for the past 24 years and the work that's been done. And I believe this, and this is my opinion. I've noticed that grace believers really have their own opinions a lot of times. And that is this. I believe last Thursday morning the Lord Jesus Christ stood up. And I believe it didn't just go by unnoticed. I believe the Lord knew about Brother Hampton and him coming home. I don't think I've ever known anybody that just was 100% all the time going and preaching. I don't think I've ever known anybody with that kind of dedication. I believe if the Lord ever, my opinion, if the Lord ever stood up for a saint, that He did Thursday morning. You know, there's one more thing I heard Brother Hampton say was, he said, if, you know, when he went, that he wanted somebody to preach the gospel. And I know we got another guy coming here to preach after me, and which I don't know, never met. But I'm sure he's going to preach the Word of God, or he wouldn't be here. The Bible says over here in Romans chapter 5, and I want to just give a little quick presentation here. You never know. I know this. I know that whenever someone goes on to be with the Lord, and there are a lot of times people are affected who are lost and who will come. And I'm sure that's going to be true tomorrow and today and maybe even now, that maybe need to hear. And it says here in Romans chapter 5, it says in verse 6, "For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Now, if you're here this morning and you're not ungodly, then God didn't die for you. It's just like an alcoholic. I worked for the railroad for 31 years. And I worked at night a lot. And I remember one night, it was probably about 9:30 in the evening, and it was dark, getting pretty, you know, just got dark in the summertime. It was hot. And the train master says, "We're going to do this, couple this track, and be ready for it. We need to get it out." You know, so always in a hurry. Hurry up and wait. That was their theme. And I heard something. I was already down in the yard, and I heard something. Of course, when you work like that, you're out there by yourself most of the time, with whoever else might be out there, and you never know. Murderers, there's been some folks killed out there. In 30 years I worked out there, within a mile radius there, I know of 50 murders that happened in that North Montgomery. That's a lot of people. But anyway, I heard this voice. I said, "What is that?" So I walked over there, and there was a man laying between the track. And I looked down the other end, and the switch engine had already coupled up to it, and they're fixing to couple the track. And I knew what's fixing to happen. He's fixing to get killed. So I said, called the train master, says, "Don't move. We got a guy down here on the track." And says, "Send a special agent, the police up here to get him." So, and the reason, I usually wouldn't have done that, but here's what happened. That guy was laying there between the track, and he was drunk. He was a wino. If you've ever been around them very much, you can smell them 20 feet away. He was wet with sweat. He'd already urinated on himself. What else? I don't know. But he stunk, and I didn't want to touch him. I called somebody else to come get him. And when the police got there, they wanted me to help him get him out, so I had to get hold of him anyway. But the thing about it is this. God died for that man, just like he died for me. You see, Christ died for the ungodly. I don't care where you are or where you've been or what you've done. Everyone here this morning is a sinner. We're all sinners. And if you're not, then Christ didn't die for you.
Amen.
See, you got a problem, see? Christ died for the ungodly. And for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. You know, some. I guarantee you the number would be very few. Very few men would be willing to die for another man. But the Lord Jesus Christ died for all men. He didn't just die for me or that hobo. Matter of fact, I asked that guy what his name was, and come to find out he lived over in Prattville, Alabama. How he got to that point, I don't know, but he was in a mess. But Christ died for him. You know, a man can't get help until he knows he needs it. That man was—he was so far gone, I couldn't witness to him. He was out of it, you know. Never saw him again. Saw his brother, but never saw him again. Whether he went to heaven or hell, I have no idea. But I know this: Christ died for his sins. And look at verse 8. "But God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Over the years, it's always amazed me whenever you try to tell somebody how to be saved, how things start happening, supernatural things, things that you can't see start happening. It's like the flesh, you got to fight the flesh, your flesh, that other fella's flesh, and anybody else's around, and devils, and you know, and you're trying to witness somebody and show them, hey, it ain't what you do or what you can do. It's what Jesus has done for you. And Jesus Christ died for that man's sin there that day. And He died for your sins and my sins. And it's simply by trusting Him and accepting, there that word accepting is, we gotta accept Him and He'll accept us. We are, if you're here this morning, you are accepted in the Beloved. Look at chapter 10 now. It says here in Romans chapter 10, there in verse 10, it says, "For the heart man believeth unto righteousness." You know, when a man, we say, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But when a man comes to the knowledge in his heart, see, you know, out of the heart, you know, the heart has a, I believe the heart has a mouth. Man speaks from the heart. But it says here, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." Now, when a man knows what he is and he knows what God's done for him and he'll accept it, God will save him. It's just that simple. Paul talks about the simplicity of the gospel. Satan wants to complicate it. The flesh wants to complicate it. And we got to keep it simple. I hope and pray that as a minister here continues, that work that's been done here for 24 years will continue. All right, we're going to have some cake and some donuts and coffee. And we've got a few more people here than normal, so it's probably take a little bit longer this morning if everybody get a donut and a cup of coffee. But if you would come back at 11 o'clock, those on the internet. And also, don't forget 4 p.m. this afternoon. All right, we're dismissed.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, amazing grace.
Stand. has willed what God has planned. Take him at his word and go. Christ died to save me, this I read. And in my heart I find a need of him to be my Savior. That he will leave his place on high.
Till evening, whose words alone can Okay, good morning, everybody. Glad everybody's here, extended family, regular church members, everyone, welcome. If you will, turn to 243 in your song books. If everybody is standing with me, we're going to sing verses 1 and 3, Victory in Jesus.
On a hill far away, right, you may be seated. We've got Christy Bryan doing a special for us real quick, and then we'll come back to that.
Let me make some of the announcements. First one is we have our picture directory. The cost on those are $15. We're asking if you would like to pay more, anything over the $15 cost will go to Barry and Brenda and cover some of the cost. And also, if you want to give kind of a love offering on top of the cost of the directory, I've got like 27 or 20, just a few of them. So, this is a very, it's got all the pictures, it's got the birthdays, it's got anniversary, it's got a calendar in the back. So see me after church. You can make any checks out to Grace Bible Church to cover the cost of those. So the other thing, announcement is on the 15th, which is a Friday night, we will have karaoke here at the church. And, we're going to go on just like, the regular church service. So. And everything. So on the 15th, we have karaoke in the front room. We'll have the video games in the back room. We'll have a hamburger supper. So get with me if you're planning on bringing food and all for that so we can handle it. Then we're having our pancake breakfast at the end of the month, which will be the last Saturday in the month. Now, the Saturday before, we want to meet here at the church with as many people as we possibly can. We've got tickets, and we want to canvass the neighborhoods around here and put tickets out and make sure we invite as many people to our pancake breakfast as possible. Let me go ahead and make announcements too about the services today. And at 4 o'clock, we'll be back here, and we also will be live on the internet. We will be doing what is called a celebration of the life of Barry Hampton. That's more or less where we're going to come in, and you know, if you want to, you know, talk about what Barry's done for you and give your testimony on Barry and all that. It's just a good, joyful time of lifting and celebrating Barry Hampton's life. Excuse me. And tomorrow, 3 o'clock, at Southern Memorials Cemetery, which is on Highland Avenue, right as you go into the Green Ridge Cemetery, 3 o'clock, the family will be there. 3 o'clock. The 3 o'clock, the family will be there for greeting, and if you want to greet the family and all, and then at 4 o'clock, the service for the memorial service and all for Barry will be at 4 o'clock. That will not be aired on the internet. That will be, you know, but if you come along, because we don't have internet there. So, but 3 o'clock is family time. If you want to meet family, Brenda and Jamie and all the family, you know, be there at 3. And then 4 o'clock is the actual funeral. After the funeral, we're going to come back here to Grace Bible Church, and we'll have a covered dish supper for our out-of-town guests and the family of the church. So, if you're bringing food for that, please get with Deborah and Renee and let them know what you're bringing. They're coordinating the Food Corporation, you know, what we're doing there. So that's all my announcements at this time. Jeff?
All right. Barry wrote a song a while back. Most of us know it. We've sang it a few times in here. But we wanted to kind of do that one for him. Wade made it real clear earlier whenever he preached, it's so simple that most people didn't get it, and this song pretty much simplifies it for you.
Amen.
So if you all know it, go ahead and sing with me.
All you got to do is believe, all you need is better off for you and me, totally pay the prices. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is to see the greatest work of Calvary. If you pay the price, isn't he gracious and nice? All you got to do is believe.
Sorry about that. Usually he was the one leading that, and I just kind of followed along.
Yeah.
I don't know the words as well as he does, but that was his favorite, so just wanted to do that one for Barry. At this time, one of Barry's beloved brothers, Terry P., he's going to come and give our second message. Terry, come on.
Thank you, brother. Well, can I say, wow. Well, I know if Barry had anything to say today, he would have said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, be turned to fables, sad stories. So that's what I plan on doing today. But before I get started, I'm kind of echoey there. If anybody has any prayer requests, I certainly know Brenda and her family, and certainly all of us need to be praying for each other. The ministry.
I do have there is a prayer request. Bill King, who is a very loyal internet viewer, and Laura. Bill has just been diagnosed with prostate cancer,
And he said, I'm going to have to go through the treatments and all that. And he's one of our, you know, dear friends, right, you know, for Grace Bible Church and personally and all. So let's keep building our prayer.
Anybody else have a prayer request? Miss Jane?
My youngest granddaughter, Hope, has been in the ICU unit in a hospital in Temple, Texas with juvenile diabetes, and they airlifted her there on Wednesday. She was in a diabetic coma, and she's still having problems in breathing in that they've got her blood sugar regulated, but for some reason her brain at some point tells her not to breathe anymore, so she's off in and off of the respirator.
Well, definitely keep that in her prayers.
Thank you.
Lisa, give me a tissue.
There should be some up there.
Is there?
We put it back up there for y'all.
Oh, okay.
Miss Catherine Newton told me to tell y'all to pray for her. She's in rehab, and I'll get all that information. She's going to be there 2 or 3 weeks, and she wants us to come visit her. And she said she wished she could be here to come to the funeral, but she didn't think there was any way she would be able to. But she said, I should have gone on before Barry. She, if y'all don't know, she ended up in the hospital the other day. She fell and, you know, had an accident and broke, I don't know how much, but a leg and hip. Anyway, pray for her.
Okay.
She loves the Lord.
Definitely pray for Miss Newton. Anybody else? Before we go to the Lord in prayer. And you know, we go to the Lord in prayer. I hope everybody here has been praying, you know, to the Lord, making their requests known. It's certainly not when we stand before this pulpit that God hears our prayers. God hear your prayer. If you're saved by the grace of God in here, God hear your prayer. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So it doesn't have anything to do with me standing behind the pulpit, but I do certainly want to let y'all know that I and my family and all of us love each other and would, as they say, covet your prayers. So I'll go to the Lord in prayer just as I would any other time. But because I'm standing before you and I say a few words, that doesn't make it any more meaningful to what the Spirit groans for me. Lord, I know that you're able to make intercession, and you know our hearts and our sorrow for our brother that we're missing this morning, and for the families that are groaning for his appearance, and that they can't wait for the day for those that are saved to meet him again, and we know it won't be long, and for all those that are sick and need your intercession in their lives for what's your will, and that you would hear our prayer, Lord, and do what you know is your will and in their lives to be done, and know our love toward the saints and all the believers, and that the lost would hear the gospel and have an opportunity to trust the Lord, and that you would convict their hearts, that they would know that there is a Savior. And Jesus Christ didn't die on that cross in vain. And that they can believe and trust Jesus Christ their Savior and be possessors of eternal life this morning. And that's what our aim and goal is, and for the believers to be edified and built up and established and comforted and our hearts knit together in love, that we may all be able to comprehend the Word of God which you eloquently have wrote down in a King James Bible. And I pray all this in your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Still kind of echoey. Does it sound echoey to you? Maybe it's just my monitor. I don't know. It sounds, yeah, that's better. That's better. I just want us, it's doing it again. Leave it alone, brother. turn to 2 Corinthians real quick. And I appreciate the brother's message this morning because it is grace and it's not works and it is free. And if it wasn't, you wouldn't have no hope. If it wasn't everything that Jesus Christ did on that cross 2,000 years ago, you have no hope. And I'm going to show you that this morning. But I want to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this is to comfort the families and the close friends, certainly myself, a dear friend of Barry's for 20 years. But 2 Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And Barry taught me this verse, and you cannot figure this out. If you can figure it out, then it's not faith. If you can go, okay, I got it figured out, I know how it's going to work out, I know what's going to happen, I've got it all figured out. You know what? Barry tried to figure it out. And if there was anybody that was good at figuring stuff out, it was Barry. Even if he didn't know anything about it. Amen? And he'd try to make you figure it out too. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, this is one of his favorite verses in the whole Bible. And he based his ministry, much of his ministry was based on this. Barry was the biggest giver, the biggest encourager, the biggest doer. You want to talk about somebody that was pressing on it and getting on with the program, as they say, was Barry. He believed in this verse in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, what's left for you?
Nothing.
He is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think according to the power that now worketh in us. See, it ain't never been you. You say, well, I give. Oh, really? Who supplied your need? You say, well, I make $1 million a year. Oh, yeah? Who supplied your job? Who gave you the wisdom? How you know that God didn't put somebody in your place so that to teach you? I'm like, Lord, when I was young, I still think I'm pretty young. Matter of fact, I know I am. I've seen some people that got a lot of years on me, but when Barry came into my path, I needed some direction. I was like, Lord, I need direction. Boom, I hit Barry Hampton. Wow, direction. He's been my mentors. Jerry Sanders, Brother E.C. Moore, and Barry Hampton have been my fathers in the Lord. But that's not what I wanted to talk about this morning. I just wanted to say that to encourage y'all to carry on, and the gospel needs to be preached because we're still here. There's a purpose for a reason for this church. This isn't a gathering of social club.
Amen.
We do have fellowship in the truth, but that's where it is. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Y'all mind if I take this coat off? Man, this thing is killing me.
We don't want you to die too, so take it off, sir.
Man, I'm telling you, I know what Barry was talking about this jacket and them lights. It's like an oven. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, read with me in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So evidently, according to what Paul's writing here, there's somebody in this Bible that didn't have hope. Or didn't. It doesn't have hope then. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, I don't know how many times we've read that verse, but somebody was ignorant of this. Do you realize this was new information? We look at it today as, oh yeah, the rapture, the catching out. It's common knowledge. Amen? That's common knowledge. Everybody knows about it. This was not common knowledge at this time. Go to 2 Corinthians. And by the way, he said that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. So what would that be to them? Would that be hope? Would that be their hope? Go to 2 Corinthians, or I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. New information. Something that evidently they were sorrowing about something. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. What is a mystery? Something that is not known. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all... Now, he did say, behold, I show you a mystery. Did they know it before? Okay. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, we're talking to Gentiles who were saved at this Corinthians church. He preached the gospel to these people, and they believed. How do I know? 1 Corinthians 15, at the beginning of the chapter, what do we find? At the very beginning of 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel. Go back there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, and which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you what? Are saved. Okay, go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, were they saved?
Yes.
Was he showing them a mystery now in the letter?
Yes.
But they were already saved, amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. Did they know there was a such thing as the catching out at this point? No. 1 Corinthians 15, 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Did they think everybody was going to sleep? Yeah. We shall not all sleep. Evidently, they thought that they were. We shall not all sleep. Always ask questions. Barry told me that. Brother Moore told me that. When you're studying your Bible, ask God. He said, he even told the prophets, he said, ask thee a sign. Now, I know we don't need signs today. God say, ask me. Test me. Try me. Check me out. You know? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Okay, that's hope. Go to... Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians. Chapter 1. Now I want to go over to the board for a minute. Does the black markers work, Wayne? I seen Barry had some trouble with them the other night. I want to go to here. And I want to say, the cross. Is that too high, cameraman? Is that perfect? Too high for you? Okay. It doesn't matter. Half a cross is better than no cross, right? The cross, and then you have, death, burial, and resurrection. The appearing to the Apostle Paul, and then we come out here, and then let's call this grace. Okay, and then we got the catching out. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, right? And then we've got 7 years of tribulation. And then we've got the return of Christ, the second coming, 1,000-year millennial reign, right? Okay? Just trying to draw out time. Now, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Okay. He said, now we know the hope of the calling is getting out of the world, right? And we know that, go over here to the board, and I know that time is here. Okay? That's the catching out. He says, go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 9, much more, Romans 5, 9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. When's the wrath going to pour out?
7 years.
Right here. Wrath.
Really, it's the last 3.5 years.
We'll call it wrath. We'll call it to be more identified about this period of time. We'll call it Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 31, Jacob's trouble. That would be scriptural. And Jacob is Israel, so this is a time for Israel going to be in some trouble. And there's going to be wrath there in this period of time. The last 3.5 years will be wrath. They'll say peace and safety, then comes the sudden destruction. First 3.5 years, peace and safety. Now what we got here is grace. Here we got wrath. He says there in Romans 5, who hath delivered us from the wrath to come. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. When does Israel receive the atonement? Second coming. That's right. Atonement. Okay, I'm just going to write atonement. Atone. Atone. There, Israel's atoned for second coming. When was the body of Christ atoned according to Romans chapter 5? Where do we receive the atonement? By which also we have now. This is grace, y'all. There's atonement here. We're atoned for here. Already atoned. By which also we have now received the atonement. Now, what's splitting this right here? Is this the same? It's different, isn't it? Now, Paul just said in Ephesians, go back to Ephesians. Now, what did they have in the Word of God before Paul started writing letters? What did they have? Old Testament scriptures, right? They could search the prophets, and they could search out the things. And what would they find? They would find things about Israel, wouldn't they? and Gentiles in covenant with Israel, and how they would get the blessing of God, because they blessed Israel, so God will bless them in Genesis 12. I'll bless them and bless thee, curse them and curse thee. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of... What is the riches? What is the riches? What kind of riches are we talking about? Eternal life? Everything. Righteousness. Holy. Performed without blame. Sanctified. Justified. Glorified. Everything that God's got, you got. When does Israel get it? Second coming. Paul says, go to Ephesians 4. 1 is 1, and 2 is 2, and 1 ain't 2, and 2 ain't 1. That right? That's the way Brother Moore used to do it. It's that simple. He would say, Paul said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Amen? He would reach into his pocket. Y'all seen this before. He'd reach in the pocket, and this is what people call themselves Christians do. They reach in their pocket, and they go, I reckon that's a quarter. And then they'll put that quarter in their hand and say, Lord, please make that 50 cents. Lord, please. I need 50 cents so bad. If you just give me 50 cents. And they open their hand up, it's still a quarter. What do they got to reckon? It's a quarter. Is it ever going to be 50 cents? No. No, you got to do something to make that 50 cents. But guess what? It is what it is. Paul said, reckon ye yourselves to be also dead indeed unto sin. Is that what Peter preached? And these people that are going around and confessing their sins, Paul said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Are they reckoning it? Can you pray about it and change it? Can you confess it? Reckon yourselves to be dead. It ain't going to be nothing but what it is. And it'll always be what it is. It's going to be dead. Why? Because He died for it. He, that's God, hath made Him, 2 Corinthians 5, we know it. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made... Well, if He made Him to be your sin, I would say that pretty much wiped your sin out, didn't it?
Amen.
Is God going to judge you for your sin if you die lost? Why? Because Jesus paid it all. All to Him I... And you don't. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You know what? I don't think they really believed that song. I think the man that wrote the song believed in grace. But they don't. They said, but you got to confess. Confess what? They say sin. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 doesn't say anything about sin. It says about your heart and you believe in something. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body. Two bodies? One body. One spirit, even as you are called in one hope. Are there two hopes in this Bible? Huh? Not for us, but are there two? Can you go look them up? Find out about them? At least two, probably more. But two, we got Israel's hope, and we got the body's hope. Amen? That's two. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, what is Paul trying to tell you? Is there one? Wait, I like the one that says, I got hope of eternal life. Now, go to Acts, and I want you to go to Acts. Let's see what this other hope talks about. Go to Acts chapter 3. And there may be somebody that's listening on the internet or in the audience today that has never really acknowledged the fact that Jesus Christ paid for all your sins. All of them. Guess what? Especially the ones that you're confessing. Because you're ignorant of it. But what about the ones you're not confessing? Oh, you think you're okay with that. I told a lie. Well, I don't need to confess that, but that murder, yeah, I need to get that one. Now, you might feel better about it, but it don't change anything about what God did. And you feeling better about it, you feeling bad about it, ain't going to change what God did. And God's not going to look down at you and go, yeah, he feels sorry. Yeah, yeah, I know he's broken hearted about it now, so I'm going to forgive him. Baloney. That's a message of the devil. He wants you to think that you got something to do with it. Acts chapter 3. Who's preaching? Peter. Acts 3, verse 19. Peter preaching. He's going at it. A house of fire. He's letting it rip. This is what he believes in his heart. For with the heart man believeth, right? Jesus said, whatever comes out of the mouth is what's in the heart. If you ain't got it in your heart, it ain't going to come out of your mouth. Why? It ain't there. Amen? Look what he says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Why? Why repent? Well, they killed the Savior. You murderers. You murdered the Lord. No. How could you have murdered the Lord? These guys were there. They were the ones who said, we'll have no king but Caesar. You are not our king, you stinking Jew. Well, they didn't even want him to be considered even their own kinsman. He was worse than the lowest a murderer. You know what they did with murderers and those involved in insurrection in those days? Well, they hung them on crosses. You know what Jesus Christ was? A murderer. They considered him a murderer. Had he ever murdered? No. Had he ever caused trouble with the government, trying to break up the government? No. He said, they asked him who he was. He said, tell them, no man, I'm the Christ. He didn't want his fame to be made known. You know who made him famous? The devil. You know why? Because he wanted it made known, okay, about this guy, and then he's going to crucify him, see? And God let it happen, too. But let's talk about this hope. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which is before preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive. Is he going to be in heaven until this time comes? So, if he's in heaven from this time until now, and he hadn't come back, then he's still there, right? And when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus, where's he coming from? Where's Jesus coming from? Coming from heaven to the earth, right? He's going to cleave the Mount of Olives from the east to the west, from the north to the south. Big old valley of Hidron or something like that. Is that right? Going to be a big old valley there, and then he's going to forgive Israel's sins. He is coming back and going to land on the ground, right? Is that their hope? Okay. What is our hope? Where are we going to meet him? Where's he going to be at?
The air.
He's going to be up here. Is up here and down here in the same place?
No.
Could it be the same hope?
No.
Somebody's lying to somebody. Look, you're going up, right? These guys are going to be resurrected out of a grave after they die a martyr's death to meet the Lord on the ground. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. Man, if that was any simpler, I'll tell you what. My daughter, she gets it. But after 7 years of seminary, and, you know, all the accounts and the big bucks, and everything, you know, you just read your little sermonette, lay it out for you. And you know what? He don't really have to study. He hadn't had to look. He just believed what they said. But even if let's say that guy's saved, he'll stand before the Lord and answer for why he did that. Acts 3:19, and he shall send Jesus Christ as before preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive, until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So, man, I mean, this is something like, go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, I want you to get in your mind, and I'm running out of time, but I want you to get in your mind and think about what was it that the 12 apostles were thinking about before Jesus left, about their hope. I want you to think about your hope. What is your hope? See, we're all going to die. Or at least put off this flesh. It's got to go. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot be with God in this flesh. It's got to be changed. It's got to be put off. This corruption must put on incorruption. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that. Now, did he say, Lord, are you at this time going to explain to us why you died on that cross? Now, that would have been, he's been crucified, buried, they find him risen again the third day. He appears to him. He stays with him 40 days. And Peter and the 12 were asking him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He's not even thinking about the cross. Do you understand? What is he thinking about? A kingdom. Why? Because this is hope. He wants to be resurrected into that kingdom and reign as priests. As a matter of fact, do you know something about the priesthood? I don't know if y'all have ever considered this. Maybe you have. I'm sure some of you have. But do you realize not one single time ever in Paul's letters does he ever even allude to anything about the priesthood? You know why? It was not his ministry. He had 12 men to call out that priesthood. And by the way, they didn't do a very good job. You know why? Because it wasn't time yet. What does he say? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness both me in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and of the othermost parts of the earth. I don't see Peter making it out of Antioch. And then what does he do after he goes to Antioch and he gets chewed out by Paul? He goes right back to Jerusalem. You know why? Because that's where his ministry still was. Because they were still trying to convert him there. Once they had converted him there, then they could go elsewhere. And when Peter stepped out of his bounds where he was supposed to be, the man that was in charge, that God called to be in charge for that time, rebuked him. Now, why won't they follow the one that was in charge, who God called to be in charge? Go to Acts chapter 13. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. I just want to show you who's in charge in Acts chapter 13. And when you come to Acts chapter 15, when Peter gets the rebuke, you know who's been in charge. It wasn't Peter in charge in Antioch. Why? Because Peter's ministry was in Jerusalem, where his hope was. That's where the Lord was coming back. He needed to go back there. He said, Jesus said, wait for me. I'm coming back here. Didn't he? Look what he says. Now there was at the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And after that, in Acts chapter 13, Paul goes out and preaches. And you know what he preaches? Be it known there in the verse 13:38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified. Going to be, shall be, are justified. Are justified. Hang on there and go to Acts See, no, hang on just a second. There was something else I was thinking about in, there in the book of Acts. Go to Acts. I'm sorry. Acts 2. Now, they preach this all the time. Acts 2. Acts 2. Verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith in himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Right? Go back to verse 34. David's not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. When's he going to make Israel's foes their footstool, or his footstool? Second coming. Acts chapter 1. He said to them, Will thou this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, It's not for you to know. And then Acts 3, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Did they believe that it was, when he told them Acts 3, did they believe that it was going to happen then? No. He says, Not for you to know the times or the seasons. But when he returns, they're going to get this. In Acts 2:38, Then Peter said unto them, they were pricked in their heart. What they said, What shall we do? We've killed the Lord. What do you do after you kill the Lord? You kill the one that was sent to save you and conquer all your enemies, and you killed him. But God raised him up from the dead. They're like, uh-oh, he's back. You know, like a Terminator. I'll be back. He's back, and they're like, uh-oh, well, oh, man, what do we do? I mean, they didn't kill him. He said, Repent. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. What did they need to change their mind about? Believe he is. And Peter they were pricked in, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins. Remission of sins. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Now, if he just told them that they're going to get remission of sins, he did say remission, didn't he? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent, you receive remission of sins. Repent and be baptized, and then they get remission of sins, and then they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what it says, doesn't it? The order that it happened is the way it wrote down. When do they get forgiveness? If forgiveness and remission are the same thing, then why do they get forgiveness at the second coming if they've already got it, if remission is forgiveness? Does that make sense? If remission is forgiveness, then they don't need forgiveness at the second coming. It ain't the same. Acts 2:38 is not your gospel. You know why? Because it ain't the same. For by grace you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What the brother was reading in Acts chapter 10. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness. Paul said in Titus chapter 3 verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Romans chapter 11. And I'm fixing to finish up here. 3 minutes is not very long to preach the gospel. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more of grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. If it's grace, then it's not work. What did Peter believe in? Work. Work to be saved. But if it be of grace, it's no more works. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. You can't, in works, you can't just go out and live in any old way you want. Well, you know what? Grace is God will receive you in spite of yourself. It doesn't matter what you did. That's why He died, He's telling you. Well, Peter didn't believe any such thing. Romans 11, move on. Romans 11, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. How's He magnifying it? He's magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you. Boy, how the stark the difference was between what Paul preached and what Peter preached. He's really making it clear and simple. Just plain as can be, you know. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are in my flesh and might save some of them. Now come down to verse 26. Or verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness... Now here's that mystery part again, having to do with your hope. See, hopes in this Bible are a mystery. The old hope? No, not see the Lord without this time restore to the kingdom of Israel. Did they know the kingdom was coming? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This wasn't a mystery. But when Paul makes the distinction of the two, he's magnifying something. He's making it clear, making the distinction. See, Paul draws the distinction. Paul tells you to rightly divide the word of truth. Paul says compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Why? Because if you don't, you won't see the differences. And Paul is the one to show us what the differences are. So he says in verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. Just like Peter said, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing. The Lord added to the church daily, it was Acts 4, Acts 5, the daily such as should be saved. Not like, okay, the God picked these men, okay, and that's the only ones He saved. No. What He's saying is, daily as such as should be saved at the second coming, when all their sins are blotted out. Look what He says. And so also Israel shall be saved as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now if Israel is a nation, if their sins are taken away now, then they don't need to be taken away at the second coming. And by the grace of God, our sins are taken out of the way, nailed to His cross. And my final verse, and I'm run over, but I got to read this verse. Colossians, go to Colossians chapter 2. I was witnessing to a guy the other day, and I showed him this verse. And he was like, I've never seen that before. I said, that's one of the greatest verses in the whole Bible.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, how about you didn't have no hope? Why? Because you're uncircumcised Gentile. You're strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, Ephesians chapter 2. Having no hope. Why? You weren't part of them that knew that they had a hope. So God had to send a man to come to you to tell you about your hope. Because otherwise you ain't got no hope. Because you ain't blessing no Jew. And even if you could, they're fallen. They're cut down the root, burned.
Preach it.
Praise the Lord, man. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He," that's God, "quickened," that means made alive, "together." When was He made alive? When was Jesus Christ made alive? On that cross. He died, was buried, and rose again. He was delivered for our offenses. Raised again for our justification. Were you there? No. So He did it for you. In spite of yourself. "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened, made alive together with Him, having forgiven you some trespasses."
All.
Now, come on now. There could be some confusion about all and some. Or now and then. Or are and shall be. Where's the confusion? The confusion is green. And it's gold. You know? Comfort and ease. And bellies, full bellies. It'll get hard when the belly gets hurting for some food. You want to be at ease and comfort. When it gets hard, though, hard to stand for the doctrine. No friends. "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which is contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly." Well, He mocked the devil when He raised Jesus Christ from the dead, don't you see? He's like, "Ha, ha, ha! Thought you had Him, didn't you?" Oh, the wisdom and the grace and the mercy of God to hold that a secret. If they had known, what does it say in 1 Corinthians? If they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So God kept it a secret so He could save you. And you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior right now. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to go do anything. You don't have to pray any prayer. You just believe that 2,000 years ago that God made Him to be everything that is wicked and evil about you. And He took all of that for everybody and put it on His Son. And if you'll believe that, God said He would save you and give you peace about it. You know what? You can trust the Lord. If He said it, you can believe it. He'll do it. Has He not said it? Shall He not also do it? If He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved," you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will save you right now. There's power in that. He'll raise you up and seat you at the right hand today, this morning, now. Once you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know, Barry was the first one to tell you, "I may be the next one to go." It was real to him. He wanted people to be saved. He wanted people to be edified and built up and know that this book ain't some social club. This ain't about money. Keep your money. When you go to heaven, you ain't bringing none of it. It's all His anyway. So you can believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that God will seal you, save you, give you eternal life right now. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Terry. Amen. We'll see all of y'all back here at 4 o'clock. I'll be here at the church, so I'm not leaving. So the church will be open if you want to come back earlier.